Stafford, I'm talking to, I will be talking to Robert Matula in Tremanus. It's the 21st of November, 1982. Maybe I could, maybe we could begin talking about your experiences round about the time of the Munich Agreement,
mm-hmm.
when you're already a professional soldier in the mm-hmm. Czech Army. Could you, mm-hmm. could you just begin sort of talking about your experiences then? And if I want to ask you a question, I'll just come in at some point. I'll interrupt or...
During the Munich or after?
Well, you can perhaps begin by telling us what happened at the time of the Munich crisis to you and your unit and so on.
Yeah. Well, during the Munich agreement, was terrible feeling in army because we knew we had to surrender to Nazi everything what we had. We knew we could defend the free world on our own if we only had the support of Britain and France. But all fell, as you know, from in a history. And we had to surrender. That's why we felt so terrible about it. And consequences of it, we were 14th of March. In Stalin Army, we were occupied by first German troops, which should have come, according to Munich Agreement, 15th of March, 39. And, of course, because we didn't have the order to surrender before the Germans, our unit for the Germans, and then we had to retreat.
This is in March 1939.
39.
During the occupation
14,
of... 14th. During the occupation of Prague.
Yeah, official date was 15th of March to surrender to Nazis, all the army units. But because Germans came first to Ostrava and close to my unit on the 14th of March, before the Munich Agreement, so we had to fight them and we had to retreat to Poland.
Okay, can you tell me what happened? You fled to Poland?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened then in Poland and... how long were you in Poland, mm-hmm. and what happened when the Germans attacked Poland?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was exactly about a month in Poland. We were sent to first to Turistyczny Dom, that's in Polish, in Krakow. Then from that place, because it was too small, we were sent to military barracks in Male Bronowice near Krakow. From then on, because the unit, all the refugees from Czechoslovakia, military refugees, were increasing, they had to send the, and the Polish didn't want to have any diplomatic problem with Nazi, so they sent us to France. As little as we knew where we were going to be sent, without our knowledge, they sent us to France, ship us on a ship. I think that was the first ship and Swedish. Kastelholm. I don't remember exact date. It was just a month after staying in Poland. And next one was a maiden voyage of Polish ship Batory, which is still in existence today. That was first shipment of Czech ex-servicemen sent to France. They sent us to port of Calais, northern France, where we had to go to French military barracks in Calais. Then they had some Czech embassy person in France that time told us we had to sign for 5 years to French Foreign Legion or else we shall be sending back to Czechoslovakia, that occupied Czechoslovakia. Because French government didn't want to have any diplomatic problem. So we all signed, because we didn't want to keep together and fought the Nazism. We knew the war was inevitable, see, and eventually it will start. So we went and signed for 5 years to French Foreign Legion.
What happened then?
Well, we were sent to Marseille first, French Foreign Legion fortress. I don't know if you know the Marseille. Well, everybody
really
knows that the French Foreign Legion fortress, little peninsula in Marseille. And over there that we had to sell our civilian clothes, what we had, and issue the military French Foreign Legion uniforms and wait for a transport to Africa, North Africa, French Africa that time.
Did you go to North Africa?
Oh, yeah.
Where did you go?
We were first sent to Oran, where we landed, then to French Foreign Legion Training Center, Sidi Bel Abbès, and from there eventually to Fortress Bossuet I was sent. We were all distributed different fortresses.
Where is that?
In French Africa, now Algiers today.
So how long were you there?
6 months. We did exactly till war broke up in 1939, that was in 2nd and 3rd of, what was it, November?
In September.
September.
The war broke out in September.
September. Mm-hmm. Then we were, by agreement of Czech government in exile in France and Britain, they had some in Britain, some they haven't been working to get together. They had a separate government in France and separate exile government in Britain, which wasn't recognized properly. But in France, that part of Czech exile government was recognized by French, not by British, even.
Can I just ask you at this point, what did you feel about the Munich settlement and about the behavior of the Czech government at the time of Munich? I mean, do you think that maybe the government and Beneš should have fought anyway, even after the agreement?
Well, it was very difficult that time. We were lonely, completely lonely. Beneš tried everything. Even when British government and French Daladier government and British Chamberlain government said, if we're going to fight on our own Nazi, then the eventually will go and fight us as well. So Beneš went to Warsaw and asked the Polish government to support us. And he promised the Polish government to rearm the whole Polish army with modern arms, which we had that time, for help. We would have won a war that time, together only with Poland, but as you know, the British and French were completely against that. We had a military agreement with France for helping each other in a case of attack.
Did you feel
betrayed? We felt bitter, very bitter that time. If you ask my wife, she could have told you the bitterness of the people even after the war against the British and French for letting us down so badly.
Was there any thought at the time that maybe you could get help from the Soviet Union?
No, I don't think so, because people, the Communist Party was about 5% of population, was one of the smallest parties. We knew the communism in Czechoslovakia, and for rest of the world it was a secret. But most of the people knew what the communism and life in Russia is like from Hunger 30s. For example, I knew about the communism from Hunger 30s time when I was a boy, when the communist tried to send some Czech coal miners to Russia to work. And eventually from my part of the country where I was born, was about 200 families signed to go to work to Russia, to communist Russian mines, coal mines. And they signed a 5 years agreement to work in Russia. And after each year, they got a 2 weeks holiday to come back with their families. And after 1 year of work, nobody would like to go back, only across their dead bodies that time. So I, as a teenager that time, in the beginning of my teenage years, listened and was very anxious about the life in Russia, what the communist propaganda was doing in Czechoslovakia. They called this paradise in Russia, the life that time. Nobody knew much about it under Stalin regime, see? So we were the first people to knew what exact life in Russia is.
Were a lot of the miners in the Ostrava region communist?
Well, they were. They were from the beginning, see.
What about you? Did you? I mean, obviously, you got a pretty early idea of what it was like in the Soviet Union.
Well, I was even from my very independent men, and I never trusted the politicians. I never trusted anybody, only on my own proofs. See? What I...
Did you approve of any of the political parties in Czechoslovakia?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which party or which group were you most sympathetic to?
Well, see, the people in Czechoslovakia, there were the two, maybe the three major parties going on. There was a Beneš party, they call it a National Socialist, which wasn't German National Socialist, of course. It was a party which was after Beneš regime. Then there was an agrarian party which was all the farmers and the rest of it. Then the Social Democrat Party. But people under first president Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, they follow his idea, not the political ideas. And his idea, what he practically gave the people of Czechoslovakia, and they were devoted to the system, see? So they all went, even they were belonged to three different parties, major parties, so they followed the ideals of the first president of Czechoslovakia, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk.
Which party were you most sympathetic towards, well, who you've mentioned?
I never got in contact to any political parties, because I had my beliefs, you know, from my proofs and rest of it.
You didn't vote?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I vote. Yeah.
Can you tell me who you voted for? Do you want to tell me who you voted
for? Well, I voted the party which was with the best man in.
Yeah.
Who tried to help the right course of it.
So that would be a different party according to...
Yeah, could have been a different party.
Different issue or different election.
It all depends which person was in a power.
So you tend to... Yeah, right.
In
you're
my
voting for people rather than
constituency,
the party.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right, okay. Okay, well, let's go back to the time of when you're in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone beyond Poland and you're in the French Foreign Legion, and the war breaks out. What happens?
Well,
you're in Algeria.
War broke up. We were very, very badly treated in French Foreign Legion. The French Foreign Legion was infiltrated by fifth columnists from Germany.
Lots of the German soldiers were fifth columnists.
Yeah, fifth columnists. They were sent from the beginning. They were even the officers in French Foreign Legion, Germans. We were told by them, you know, none. What we are for, good, up there. They called us, we are good for German cannon and footer. They said in German, one officer said it to us, lieutenant in French Foreign Legion. And we were beaten by Germans, kicked, and everything. So it's distributed on a small groups, then we were under their control, see. Up there, we had a terrible life in French Foreign Legion. But we survived. For 6 months, one of the hardest part of French Foreign Legion, which is a training, and the war broke up. Then Czech exile government had an agreement with French government to release us to train the Czech army in France, southern France, because they mobilized all the Czech personnel in Western Free Belt. Then they released us and we came, 5,000 of us back, marching through the Oran and Sidi Bel Abbes, and all that harm has been done to us, we were giving the back to Germans up there. We were in a power. The 5,000 troops together singing the Czech song which didn't exist in French Foreign Legion, coming back through streets of Sidi Bel Abbes and Oran singing Czech songs, military songs and so on, and coming back to France. We arrived in France and we started organizing the Czech army in France and training.
Where did you go to in France, first of all, when you got back?
City of Agde. I was in Agde, yeah, which where was the main body of Czechoslovak army in France.
How long did you stay in Agde?
I stayed 6 months in Agde, training all different personnel. First the army personnel, then in sub-officer school, instructor, and so on. Then I went with 1st Division, Czechoslovak Division on the front, Northern France.
Can you tell us anything just briefly about your experiences on the front in France?
Well, we came to a place called Sinisin in our position. I was in a heavy machine gun squad. Place called Sinisin, close to Belgian border. And you know, we had a on our right wing we had a French Foreign Legion division. On our left wing we had a French division. That's all what I remember. We were in the middle of it. But the Germans made a blitzkrieg through the French Foreign Legion divisions, broke the line about 2 months later on, after we'd been on the front. And we were on a main retreat since then. They penetrated right to the city of Bordeaux, south of France, and so on. And we were on a, I think it was about 350 kilometer retreat. We were in a pocket, close by advancing German panzer. So myself, I volunteered to cover the retreat of division. I had a heavy machine gun squad with an old First World War cannon on wooden wheels. We had to, if we want to turn the gun, that was as an anti-tank gun, field gun from the First World War. And we had to take the wheels off, put the wheels on, turn the gun, opposite situation. Anyway, that was my first experience. On the front, we were bombed and shelled and so on, you know, the usual on the front. But on a retreat, I was in charge of covering the retreat of our division. I had about 200 men altogether with a heavy mortar squad, a heavy machine gun squad and a heavy mortar squad. And I was taken a prisoner. That time, tanks came right from behind, and otherwise they would have blown us to pieces. So I said, "Well, that's it." I was a commander of that retreat, and I was a sergeant. And they had no infantry, Germans. They had a very, very few infantrymen on their tanks. All of what they could spare, the 3 infantrymen to handle our as the prisoners. That was about. I think it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when we were taking. I don't remember the date exactly. And I think it was after signing the peace treaty in Paris, in Pardon?
Vichy?
No, no, the Vichy government also already was signed a treaty with Germans.
I can't remember the name.
Well, anyway, where was that first treaty was signed? First World War, Versailles?
Versailles.
Versailles, yeah.
Yeah, Versailles.
They're exactly in the same place Hitler
Compiègne,
came.
Compiègne. That's where the First World War armistice was signed.
Yeah, in
near
those
Versailles,
in those carriages and
yes,
the,
right.
Yeah,
right.
They signed. Hitler demanded to sign up the, all the
same
German
place.
Commanders. We were still fighting the Germans of the Czech army,
so
still retreating.
So you were taken prisoner, but presumably
I was taken
prisoners
only for about 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
When the dark came in, we killed the guards and took our weapons and moved south, further south.
So where did
and
you end
we,
up?
We joined. We went from Belgian border, retreating and covering the division, so they were already south, and we went to Montpellier in central France. That's where we just crossed the railway bridge. After my units crossed the bridge, and the bridge was blown up, see? And we headed further south to Montpellier, where we joined our division. And our division had occupied a hill above the Montpellier. We joined them up there. They had us for a dead already. You know, they were very pleased to see us back, all of us. I haven't lost a one man in my unit. And I came back, and they were keeping the hill above the Montpellier, fort of Montpellier. And a Vichy government already tried some tricks, you know, and to surrender, if we surrendered, they let us go, use the Egyptian boat. That was Rodolphe Farak, Egyptian boat in a port. They let us go. But every time when the part of the, they pretended they like putting their arms, you know, surrendering and everything, and they sent the Senegal troops to attack us all the time. Because they were ready, they were dug in the hills, and they had to retreat Senegal troops again. The one end, we demanded General Fauché, which spoke perfect Czech. He was a military attaché before they were in Prague, to made an agreement with French, see, of releasing us and letting us go to Britain. But anyway, Czech government already arranged a action with the British government to send the British Navy from Gibraltar to Montpellier to our aid. We had four British destroyers came and gave the ultimatum to French Vichy government to release us, and the French released us, see? They released us on an Egyptian boat, only 5,000 troops.
And then you sailed directly.
But there were several. The all the Czech personnel who came from Holland, Belgium, and France were released to go back to their demo, to go to their families. And the person who volunteered to fought the Nazi, went on those boat and sailed to Gibraltar.
And then back to England.
Then we waited for a convoy. Yeah, we witnessed in Gibraltar British fleet going to sink the French fleet in Oran. And soon after that, we went in a convoy to Britain.
Okay, so you arrive in England in the summer of 1940, after the collapse of France.
After collapse of France, we arrived in summer 1940. We came with a convoy to Liverpool. And they put us in a camp, summer camp, in Cholmondeley Park, in Cheshire. anyway, then we stayed there during the summer. We had a visit, President Benesch came on a visit to his troops and so on, you know. And we were sent to that was in Warwickshire, Midland, we were sent. Then we had to build our barracks and so on. So, you know, first these wooden ones and concrete foundation, then variegated iron, you know, those military barracks. We built it ourselves and everything. Then troops moved in from the summer camp. Then I started a training as a infantry brigade, or Czech army left. And Air Force personnel were sent to RIF. I believe they made the first RIF squadron, 310 fighter squadron, from a Czech pilot, with personnel from a Czech army as a ground personnel and so on. Then they made a second, months later, on second fighter squadron, and one Czech Anglo-Czech mixed squadron. That was the first Air Force of Czech in RIF.
Right.
Yeah. Then the Czech infantry brigade was in a full training in the Midland and so on. Normal training. Some new members arrived from Canada, where the military mission was sent. I believe there was around several hundred new soldiers from Canada and civilians living in Britain and so on. And was a time when everybody was so depressed after losing the battle in France and so on, lots of them. And the communists were in a full swing, the disturbing rest of it, because Russia had an agreement with the Nazi that time. Remember the two Czech communists, that was Dr. Stransky and Slansky, that time in Britain, went in amongst the Czech personnel, tried to persuade them to get out of the army, it's capitalist war and so on. But he didn't have much success. I think he got about maybe 150 soldiers to persuade to leave the army, which they were sent to Pioneer Corps, British Pioneer Corps, when they left the Czech army. And they had to be military active somehow by work. Anyway, as I said, they didn't succeed it. And training continued, we were moved from a place to place until we came to Dovercourt and Harwich. We were made a Czech tank brigade and issued with a new training tanks, Crusaders, where we trained for several times and sent to Peterborough with a full Cromwell tanks and ready for action.
Were you a driver or...?
I was a driver, instructor, yeah, in the tank corps, yeah. That's where I met my wife.
In Peterborough when you were there or in Harwich?
In Dovercourt.
In Dovercourt, yeah.
Yeah, Harwich,
yeah.
Dovercourt.
Coffee.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Okay.
Then I was asked by my commander if I would go. That's before I knew my wife. I was asked if I would, in a case necessity, I would have to go. Would I go home? I said yes. Anytime. And then I knew met my wife, you know, and got married and everything. And he came and asked me, you know, I said, would I still consider to go and join the group to go home?
Can you give me a rough date for that?
That was in March 28, 1944. Our commander was sent to commander of the Czech forces in Britain and the Czech intelligence section, if he would go, choose his own men, would he go to be dropped to Czechoslovakia? He said yes, and that was his action. He chose his own men from a brigade.
Can you give me his name? Do you remember his name?
Yeah, that was, commander was Joseph Otisk.
Can you spell that?
Otisk. O-T-I-S-K. And first he picked up this gunner from a tank, then me, driver, then two other members. We were five together. We had no telegraphies that time.
So what happened? Can you tell me from the time at which you agreed that you would go back to Czechoslovakia, what happened then?
Well,
what kind of did you have special training?
Yeah, then we were taken out from a unit of a Czech tank brigade and sent to London.
Where were you sent to in London?
Well, we were stationed in Stanhope Terrace. Our headquarters was in a Bayswater, Czech section of British intelligence.
Were you ever told the name of the British organization for which you were working? Or were you just told it was British intelligence?
No, they never told us.
Did you meet with any British personnel or was it exclusively Czech?
Exclusively Czech, they kept, see. Czech, but they had a contact with the British, they were in a contact with British intelligence, see. What I understood was the Czech section in British intelligence. Like they had a Polish section and Norwegian section and so on, see?
Right.
Dutch,
right.
French, Free French, and so on.
So what happened when you were in Stand Up Tariffs in London?
Well, we were under the complete training, you know, military, intelligent training.
Can you tell me what that involved?
Well, it involved a lot of things. We were sent to Scotland to place. Oh, the name.
Was it RSA?
No, it was especially for special troops training, see, in Scotland, as an individual group. And went through all, again, you know, the normal command on all the different jumping and so on, parachute jumping and so on. But most of us already had that training in Manchester.
Okay, you had been already trained to parachute jump in Manchester?
No, I wasn't. I was the only group from a five of us, six of us, which didn't have the parachute training.
Did you receive any at all?
No, I never had it before. The rest of them had already parachute jumping, you know, training, and the rest of it. I was the first one, only the one in a group which didn't had it.
But you received it in Scotland?
Oh, yeah. I received it in Manchester, yeah. Near Manchester.
That was at Ringway Airport, presumably.
No, that was, what was it? Ringway.
Ringway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Ringway. Yeah, in Ringway.
How long was that?
Well, I had seven jumps.
Seven jumps.
Yeah. Yeah. I had six from a plane and one from a balloon. And
were your instructors, the people who instructed you in Scotland, were they?
They were
again?
All British.
They were British?
So, yeah. British, they were the Scotch and English.
Mm-hmm.
They were completely British courses.
Did you train with other national groups, or was it all Czechs that you trained with?
Well, we were in a small groups up there. But there were the other ones in the groups like the assault courses and things like that. We were with Norwegian and different foreign things. And in the parachute training, we were with Free French and different ones, you know, Polish and so on. They were, you know, just close by, but we were as an individual group amongst them, see.
Were you, when you lived in Scotland, were you segregated and separated?
We were segregated from the rest, see.
So you lived in separate barracks or separate houses?
Yeah, separate barracks, yeah. Oh, yeah. But when the groups was chosen already, they were individual groups. They haven't been mixed with the rest of them. So, less you knew, better it was for everybody, see?
So security was exceptionally tight?
Security, very tight security.
Had you been told already what your mission was going to be?
No, not exactly. We were, from the beginning, we were in the dark, still in the dark. And they were under sort of like a women funnies during the war. Maybe you heard about intelligent people. They were sent, you know, amongst us. They spoke Czech. Person, British intelligent women who spoke Czech. And they tried to find out from a security reason, you know, what we are and so on, if we are safe and so on.
What kind of things did they do to check that?
Well, they invited us, you know, for a drink or go to cinema. Made like a girlfriend, you know. She tried to take you out to cinema, so on, come closer to you, you know. Try to find out what's in you from security reasons, see.
Did any of your group fail?
Normally they liked it when we were two together and one of them or two of them, see, so they can listen to us when we were talking Czech, see, and what they can find out from us. Well, we suspected that, of course. They didn't. We had a lot of fun, but they were good. They were great girls. They did their job.
Can you remember anything else about that training period that is interesting like that?
Oh, yeah, we were sent all different training system. For example, we were followed in London, going in completely dressed in a civvies under false names, cover names. See, we had to know our cover stories, live cover stories and so on. And we were following, that was the beginning of the training, following the certain personality. We gave this description of the person, we had to follow them, see. And we were also followed by the other ones, see. And that's how you were judged, you know, in your training. I remember I was married already. It was a 3 days exercise, 4 days exercise, I began on 4 days exercise to be followed, you know. And you had a certain points for it, you know. You found so many persons, you've been found by so many people, see. All your activity in London, all different ones. And after about 6 hours in a training, I packed it up and went to Oxford on a train. See my wife. I stayed about 2 days with my wife and I came back and finished it, still in a good, with good marks.
No one followed you to Oxford?
No, nobody followed me to Oxford. I disappeared.
Well, I guess that's good training.
Yeah.
For disappearing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we carried on. Then we went to different courses in Scotland and parachute training. Then we went to Bewley for an intelligence course.
Okay, let me ask you a little bit about Bewley then.
We went sent to Bewley. That was a 14-day informal behind the line course.
What do you mean by behind the line course?
They were the people who were working already behind from British intelligence. They were instructing about the Germans' normal identity and so on, German arms and so on, and so on. And complete intelligence course.
Can you give me, can you maybe tell me about a typical day at Bewley?
I had to memorize the things what we did, which was such a long time, see, ago. Now, we were told the activity of German intelligent, and their, what do you call it, what would happen, see, and so on, how they interrogate you, and so on, and so on, and everything, all completely as it was in Germany, and it was by a person who was very familiar with that, came from Germany, see, British intelligent. We didn't know anything about it, but later on we found out who it was, and it was one of the second-in-command of German Gestapo in Berlin, who had to escape through Portugal, and Spain and Portugal to Britain when he was found out.
Did you have to learn German? Did they teach you any German?
Well, we knew a little bit of Germans, yeah. We could understand Germans, and we could manage somehow as a Czech person. We were taught in the schools a little bit of German. Even we hated the language at that time. And so I remember we were behind the barbed wire for 2 weeks in Bewley. We were not allowed to go out. And for example, we had to go and did the things like silently when everybody was asleep and get the documents, you know, out, certain documents while they were sleeping, locked, and get in through the, go through the gutters, opening the windows and things like that, getting the opening secret, opening the doors and secretly and robbing the banks and so on. And we were all trained by that, inclusive the German side of intelligence and interrogation and so on and so on, different German arms and so on, what we could expect behind the line and so on.
So that lasted for about 2 weeks?
Yeah, for 2 weeks.
Then where did you go?
Then we went, they took us again to jumping mission on a radar, in a night jumping in a radar. They put us on a one of the bomber planes in Swindon Airport, drove us from London to Swindon, close to Swindon somewhere. We're not supposed to know, you know, where it was. I knew it was somewhere close to Swindon. Put us on a British bomber plane, and we were told we're going on a jumping mission on a radar. See? So we went in, but plane went across the English Channel. I said, what the hell are we going across the English Channel? Over the sea, see? He dropped some bomb on the coast, French coast, and they came back with us on a action because they were short of plane aspect that time, bombers. And they dropped us on a radar up there. All of, that was all six of us then. And then we had a little mission. Oh, a little mission, you know, like putting the explosive and so on, you know, with the action. Jump with action and rest of it. And
where was this done?
That was in somewhere close in the country, near Swindon and somewhere. Yeah. But normal training, what we had, explosive is explosive, and everything was in Scotland, you know, when we were in the courses, blowing up the bridges and different electrical power stations and so on.
Had you been told by this time that you were involved in a sabotage?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were told, yes, when we came, what we agreed to go back to Czechoslovakia, see, and be dropped up there. We knew all that before.
Well, I mean, you knew that it would be sabotage of some kind or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, we had a general knowledge, you know, we'd be sent to Czechoslovakia to organize the underground movement and do the demolition and so on.
Can you remember exactly when you were told about your specific mission?
We are close about 3 weeks before we were sent to Italy to action station. We were told we are Wolfram, our name of our group. We had our force and identity and everything. We were trained in that, you know. They train you specially, or then they cover you. Very rough training, you know. Suddenly,
what was your identity? Can you remember?
Yeah, I was in Moravia. I was Robert Daniek. My name was. I picked my own name, you know, French name. I kept the Robert name, but my friend's name Daniek. In Moravia, my job was. Clerk of Woodlumber in Saturday.